Hey there. Thanks for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our prayer for you is that you feel the welcome home of Christ even through your phone. We pray that this message causes you to know God better, walk in greater freedom, discover what God has called you to do in this life, and make an eternal difference in the world around you. We hope you enjoy the message.
Hey. Bring it. Come on, baby.
Wow. Thank you so much. Hey, do me a favor. Look at the person next to you and say, you look so good tonight. And then you can take your seat. There we go. There we go. Hey, it is so good to see y'all here tonight. I'll tell you this. I've been waiting all day for y'all. Like, I've been waiting all day for you guys to show up, for you guys to get here. I'm so excited to be here and to be on this stage this evening. And I want to give a quick shout out to everybody that will be listening online. I just want to say that we appreciate you and thank you so much for tuning in. And real quick, I want to say that it's such an honor. It really is. It's such an honor to be on this stage. You know, just about 8 months ago, I sat right there for the very first time visiting this church. And here I am 8 months later. It's an absolute honor. So I want to say thank you to the staff here at the Bridge and the pastors, really for paving the way for youngins like myself. I really do appreciate y'all. And now I know that some of you, you're looking at me right now like, who the heck is this guy? Let me just clear this. I am not the lead pastor. Not the new lead pastor. That's not me. This ain't it. But I'll say this, my name is Chris Tafoya. I'm one of the student residents here at the Bridge, and I come all the way from Denver, Colorado, the Mile High City. You know, they don't call it that because of the elevation anymore. They say it for other reasons. If you don't get it, you'll get it tomorrow. I'll pray about it. Hey, but I believe that God has a purpose for you to be here. I believe God has a purpose for me to be here. I've only been here in Tennessee just a few months, and it feels like a new world to me, but I love it. You know, I showed up, and I came across a place called Bojangles. I thought it was a Mexican restaurant, Bojangles. Like, I didn't know what it was. We don't have that where I'm from. But I'm serious. God has a purpose for you to be here tonight. You know, I know maybe I don't know you, but whatever you're going through, I want you to know that you're going to make it. Not because you're for God, but because God is for you. And see, this moment, if this moment is just about church, then nobody's getting help because church doesn't change anybody. If this moment is just about a speaker, hey, I'm below average, so it can't be about that. So it better be about the supernatural living power of our God who can change lives. Amen. Hey, so let's jump into the text this evening. If you've brought your Bible, did you bring your Bible to church? Go with me to Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 12. I'm going to give you some context real quick. This is Paul talking through Romans 1 through 11, and he's telling us that God has been merciful to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus. That because of Jesus, those who believe in him are justified by faith, reconciled to God, and have hope of everlasting joy. Now there's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. What Paul is doing through these first 11 chapters that I want to go over before we read in chapter 12 is Paul, he's trying to give us right theology, which is God's mercy through Jesus. He's trying to give us right theology because when we have that, then we'll have right thinking. And right thinking leads to right living. So he's trying to paint this beautiful picture for us. And I love how Christoph put it this morning. He says this. He said, Romans 12 is the practical application to the theological truth that came before it in chapters 1 through 11. And so what Paul has done, he's defined who Jesus is, what he's accomplished, and what we have received in him. And now in chapter 12, he gives us a response. Our response, the believer's response to what Jesus has done. So let's take a look here in chapter 12. It says this, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now pause for a moment because those two words, they seem a little crazy. Like how could something that's living be a sacrifice? Because you and I, when we think of sacrifices, we think of something that is being put to death, something that is dying, something that is maybe put on an altar. And that's how it was in the Old Testament. Old Testament sacrifices are put to an end, but a living sacrifice never ends. It's a constant thing. It's us giving ourselves daily over to Jesus. And let's keep reading. It says this, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. He's trying to paint this picture of a response. The response to God's mercy is to offer our lives as a living sacrifice. This is what is holy and pleasing to God. This is what we are to do, and know that God's will is better than your will. His plans are better than your plans, and it's this constant thing. We can discover so much by offering our lives as a living sacrifice. In these few moments that we have this evening, I want to talk to you around the idea of a reasonable response. Living in light of God's mercy. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for what you've already done in this place. But God, I thank you for what you're doing right now in the hearts of so many, God. It's not about what's taking place on this platform, but God, it's about what's happening in our hearts. And God, I pray that you will open up our eyes so we can see you, and I pray that you will open up our ears so we can hear you. And that transformation will begin to take place in our hearts, God. We thank you, we love you, and all of God's people said?
Amen.
Oh, come on, all of God's people said?
Amen.
Hey, we're awake, there we go. You know, I was born and raised in Colorado, and it's so beautiful there. There's just always so much stuff to do. And I had a pretty active lifestyle growing up. I was always involved in sports. I mean, sports were my life. Like when I wasn't playing basketball, I was playing football. When I wasn't in football, I was playing hockey. I was always doing something. And because of that, I felt like I didn't really get in trouble that much. I really didn't get in trouble that much. Like, I was so busy just playing sports, but I remember this one time specifically. My parents, they were getting new windows put on the house. And these brand new windows, I don't know what was so special about them, but they were really expensive. Maybe they were soundproof. I'm not really sure why they were so great, but they were getting these windows put in, and they got them put in, and a few days went by, and I remembered that hockey season was around the corner. So, okay, well, I'm going to do what I always do. I'm going to go outside, and I'm going to play some hockey. I started to practice, and we would have this bench that went up against the house, and I would treat that bench like it was my goal, like my hockey net. I would hit the puck into that, and this one moment, I decided to give it a little power, kind of test my strength, see how hard I can hit that hockey puck. And I'm telling you, I hit that thing as hard as I possibly could, and sure enough, that hockey puck, it went sailing through my mom's new window. Shattered it. Just completely shattered it. Now, have you ever been so afraid that you just cry? You've been there? Or you don't know what to do, so you just cry? That's what I did. And I didn't know what to do, but I did know that I had three options. I had three options. The first option was to run. It's only fair. I can just run and leave, and I can come back in an hour like, oh my gosh, what happened? Oh, the window. Like, that was one option, but the second option was to go straight to Dad. And I love my dad, and I have such a great relationship with him, but he used to use this thing called a belt. Do y'all use that in the South? Is that a thing? Okay. So I wasn't going to Dad. No way. So I went with the third option. I went to Mama. Because I love my mama. She is full of not only grace, but she's full of mercy. I went to her, and with tears coming down my face, she wiped them away, and she showed me so much compassion. I just broke her new window, but she forgave me. She showed me this forgiveness and this love that I felt like I've never experienced before. In that moment, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to do anything bad again. Like, I'm never going to break anything again. And it reminded me, when I read through the scripture here in Romans, that therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. See, I don't know about you, but I'm just so thankful that we have a merciful God. I'm so thankful, and I love that the Bible is full of so many examples of God's mercy. I mean, story after story. There's examples all over the place. But specifically, I love the story of Zacchaeus in the book of Luke. Because Jesus' mercy is on full display in that story. Like, y'all know who Zacchaeus is, right? The wee little man, was he?
Yeah.
That guy. So Zacchaeus, he was a tax collector, for those that don't know, and he was a really bad guy, and he was working for the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire had conquered most of the known world up until this point, but they didn't do it in a nice way. They would come in, and they would rape the women, and they would kill the men, and they would send the kids into slavery. Like, Zacchaeus is working for that empire. Like, this is not a good dude. He's taking taxes to fund their army. But not only that, he's taking a little bit more just to put in his pocket. Zacchaeus, he's become so wealthy, stealing. And I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't like Zacchaeus. Not a good dude. Like, I don't think I'd be friends with Zacchaeus. But I love this scene because he's behind the crowd and Jesus comes walking up and Jesus is passing by and he calls him out by name. He says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. Everybody around, they couldn't believe it. Like, why would Jesus go hang out with this guy? I mean, this guy's a crook. He doesn't deserve to hang out with Jesus. He's a bad guy. But church, the Bible says that none of us deserve mercy but wrath. Like Zacchaeus, we deserve to pay for our sins. We deserve to pay for what we've done, but God, he gives us time to turn to him. Gives us time to come his way, and he fills our days with countless examples of mercy. I mean, even as we sit in this room, we are experiencing the mercy of friendship, of speaking, of thinking, of hearing. Every breath we take is a symbol of his mercy. It's a symbol. The greatest mercy that has ever been known is God becoming man to bring mercy to us. I mean, what a picture, what an image. Like, we are Zacchaeus in this story. I hope you know that. Like, I'm Zacchaeus. I don't deserve the love of Jesus. I didn't deserve the love of my mother when I broke her brand new window. Like, I'm not worthy of it, but I thank God that he declares that I'm not worthless of his love. Jesus, he doesn't save his mercy for the worthy, but rather he lavishes it on those who need it most, such as the likes of me and even you. He's a merciful Savior, merciful God. Zacchaeus, the crook that gave everything back because of the mercy of Jesus. He gave everything back. You know, God's mercy will be the fuel for your living sacrifice. His mercy will be the fuel for your living sacrifice. Remember when it said, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So what does it look like to be a living sacrifice? I'm going to give you three things tonight. Three things of what it looks like to actually be a living sacrifice. Don't worry, we're going to be done before you know it. Actually, backstage, Chris said that since it's the 5:30, I can preach for 4 hours. So I'm just going to preach. Y'all can go get Zaxby's and come back, and I'll still be preaching. I'm joking. Don't leave. Hey, the first one is this. Surrender. Being a living sacrifice, what we do is we live a life of surrender. It's amazing what happens when you surrender your life to God and you let him win that battle for will in your life. When you surrender it all to him. You know, God has given us all free will. You can choose and do whatever it is that you want to do. That's a gift from God, but for so many, it can be a curse if you don't know how to surrender to God. We're here to surrender. I yield my life. Have you ever been driving down the road and you come across that yield sign? Yeah, you don't just speed past it. You pump on the brakes and you slow down and you yield. A surrendered life, it doesn't just do what it wants to do, go where it wants to go, say what it wants to say, spend whatever it wants to spend. No, it yields to God. A surrendered life, surrender means to yield ownership, to relinquish control over what we consider ours, our property, our time, our rights. You know, when we surrender to God, we're simply acknowledging that what we have is actually his. That what we have is, it's truly His, that He is the giver of all good things, and we're responsible to take care of what He's given us as stewards of His property. But by surrendering to God, we're admitting that He is ultimately in control of everything, even your current situation. We're surrendering our thoughts, our bodies. There's a reason it's called a living sacrifice, that we're alive and we are laying ourselves down before God. We're surrendering our will. We're surrendering our will and everything that we have. You know, when I was younger, my parents, they wouldn't let me leave the dinner table until I ate all my food. No, like all my food. And I asked them why they did that, and they said, because they had to win the battle of will early so they didn't have to win it late. See, in my life, I'm just gonna let God win that battle because I know it's gonna save me so much in the long haul. I know it's gonna save me so much down the road. Like, I'm yielding to the Holy Spirit. I'm yielding to the Word of God. I'm surrendering my life. That's why I love the life of Peter so much in the Bible. He was a former fisherman that gave it all behind to follow Jesus. And plenty of times you may think, yeah, he's following Jesus, but has he truly surrendered everything to Jesus? And there's this moment in Matthew 16 where Jesus, he begins to tell his disciples that he's going to go to the cross and he's going to die. And we'll pick it up here in Matthew 16. It says this: from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter this famous line, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." There was Peter in his self-will, trusting in his own understanding, in his own wisdom, and actually forbidding Jesus to go and die. I mean, it was the Peter, he was trusting in his own thoughts and his own ideas about divine things, and it didn't make much sense. The life of self, it was so strong in Peter. Yeah, maybe he left behind his boats and his nets, but he didn't leave behind his old self. He didn't surrender that part, and Jesus follows up by saying this: then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." They will find it. Self must be utterly denied, surrendering all to God. This is all part of being a living sacrifice. Now, not only do we surrender, but we surrender so that we can now serve. You know, being a living sacrifice is truly living a life of service. That I'm here to live a serving life. It does you no good if you're willing to surrender, but you're not willing to serve. Are you living a serving life? Let me tell you, the most important decision in your life is the decision to serve God. Oh, the most important decision is not who you marry, not what kind of car you buy, not whether you're going to eat Bojangles or Zaxby's. No. The most important decision is to serve God. That's the most important decision you're going to make, and it's so awesome. One of the reasons I love this church is because week in and week out, we are seeing so many people saying yes to serving Jesus here at the Bridge, and they're here to serve you. I mean, from the streets all the way to the seats, they are preparing and they are waiting to serve you. You know what they're saying? They're saying, "Jesus, God, I want to serve you. I'm surrendering to the grace and the gospel of Jesus. I'm ready to serve with all my heart and all my strength and all my soul. God, I am laying myself down before you." You know, one of the greatest acts of service is found in the book of John. John chapter 13, and it's this moment where Jesus is washing the feet of his disciples. This incredible moment that we'll pick up here, it says this: then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. You have no place with me. So what does this act show? Where Jesus is washing the feet of his disciples, it shows us that the washing of feet in that time, it was only for the lowliest of slaves. The only people that did that were the lowest of lows. But Jesus shows us that our acts of service should be at the devoid of pride. That we must sacrifice pride in order to serve. Because there's going to be moments where, let me tell you, it's going to be a little uncomfortable when you serve. I mean, you've been there where you're like, yeah, I'll serve. Yeah, I'll do anything but that. Oh, yeah, I'll do anything but that. I won't do that. That's beneath me. No. I graduated from that thing. I don't do that anymore. I'm bigger than that. But church, arrogance is the antithesis of humility. The amount of humility that it took for Jesus to get down and wash the feet of his disciples, this was so countercultural. I mean, talk about not conforming to this world. This shows us that loving one another, there's going to be some times where we're going to have to get our hands dirty. Christ's expression shows us that no amount of love is beneath him. No expression of love is beneath him. And in doing so, it shows us that no expression of love should be beneath us either. Shouldn't be beneath us. Jesus, he really grasped and understood this modern cliche that if you're too big to serve, then you're too small to lead. He's walking this out. He's living this. I'm telling you, serving, it changes things. Because when you serve something, it has the potential to improve. If you want your marriage to get better, you ought to serve your spouse. You want your kids to get better, you ought to serve your kids. You want your job and your coworkers, you want that to get better, you ought to serve at your company. But please understand, we are not serving for what we can get in return. No. God's goodness and his holiness in Christ are all the motive that we need in order to serve. I mean, God's mercy should fuel your service. It should fuel your acts of service. I mean, what did Jesus say in the book of Matthew chapter 20, verse 28? He said, for I, the Son of Man, did not come to be served, but rather I came to serve. Jesus understood that if he wanted to change this world, he had to first serve this world. He was willing to serve. It's not about, oh, I'm just going to worry about me and get mine. No, it's how can I serve? How can I help? How can I build? How can I love? We go opposite of the world. The world says, the culture says that you have to hustle, you have to grind, you have to get yours, that you have to be number one. But Jesus says also in Matthew 20 that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. I'll tell you who the greatest of them all will be. It's not by fashion. It's not by ability. It's not off of Instagram followers. It's not off of gifting. No, the greatest of all is the servant of all. That the gateway to greatness is through service. Man, there's nothing like showing up and saying, I'm ready to serve. You know, a few weeks ago, I had to go to Home Depot to get some things for a student event. And, you know, I walked into Home Depot with my list of items, and I walked in there. I'm telling you, I wasn't looking at the aisle signs. No. I wasn't going through every aisle looking for my items. No. Not wasting my time like that. I went straight to that individual with the orange apron on. Straight to him. Why? Because they're ready to serve. They're ready to point me in the right direction. They're ready to talk with me. They're ready to walk with me. I'm telling you, we ought to wake up every single day and put that apron on, ready to serve someone. My coworkers, I'll point them towards the gospel. My family, I'll serve them. Somebody in my world, I'll talk with them. I'll walk with them. Man, I'm ready to live a life of service. I'm ready to serve with a clean heart, with pure intentions, with the right motives. But check this out. Not only is it important to serve, you're going to love this. but you have to serve with the right attitude. Have you ever been around somebody with a rotten attitude? Oh, if you're sitting by them, please don't look at them. Look straight ahead. Like, yeah, Chris, they're right here. No. Like, what's worse than a servant with a bad attitude? Like, okay, like, I'll do it. I'll serve. Intro to the bridge? Okay, I'll go. Giving, push pay, I get it. I'll give. It's not only that we serve, but that we serve the Lord with gladness. That we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. You know, God will give you the joy and the strength that you need to do what he's called you to do. Oh, he'll take care of you. As a living sacrifice, we're not only here to surrender, we're here to serve, but the last one, we are here to submit. We live a life of submission. Here to submit to the Heavenly Father. It says in Romans 12, verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You know, if you're living a life of submission, you're really not conforming to this world. You're not acting, you're not thinking like this world. Because let me tell you, in today's culture, we don't like that word. But you want me to submit? Wait, what? No, ew. Submission? Not a chance. We don't want to submit, but remember, we don't think like this world. We think like a believer. We're all giving into something. We're all submitting to something. So why not just do it by design? When I think about submission, I often think about a bit in a horse's mouth. This animal is controlled by this bit in its mouth. That's how you and I are. We are full of power and strength, but then when we give authority, when we submit to the Father, we are giving him all the authority in our life. Submitting, it's so important. It's amazing how many people struggle to submit to authority. But submitting to the authority that has been given to you is so important. Because how you react to that authority is an indication of how you react to God's authority. Are you willing to live a life of submission? We bow, we submit to the Lord. We work different here. We don't conform to this world. What does the world say? The world says you have to self-promote. You have to elevate yourself, that it's all about branding. Got to brand yourself. Branding. Get it done. The world says, let me just get power. But the believer says, let me just find my purpose. It's a big difference. We submit. I'm telling you, it's far more powerful to be elevated by God than to be elevated by man. Because God can do something with your life through submission that nobody else can do. And some of you, you're in here today thinking, man, I'm getting overlooked. I'm telling you, keep doing what you're called to do. God hears you. God knows. He's watching you. In due time, he'll bring forth what he has placed in your heart. I love what it says in the book of Psalm 75. It says, for not from the east or from the west and not from the wilderness comes lifting up, but it is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. God knows when to take your life and elevate it. Keep trusting in him. This idea of submitting and submission, it's all a part of the faith journey. Are you going to live and think like this world, or are you willing to submit to God's authority? What I've discovered in my life is that submission will always take you places that ambition can only dream of. So are you willing to constantly be in a place of submission before our Heavenly Father? Maybe some of you are looking at me now and thinking, but Chris, like this idea of like submission, like is this Bible? Like, who did this? Like, is this a thing? Like, this serving, surrendering? Like, Jesus was the ultimate living sacrifice who did not conform to this world. He gave his life on a cross. On a cross, he served you and I every single day, and then he prayed one of the most submissive prayers ever. This is God in the flesh. This is him in the garden. It says this in the book of Matthew 26. It says, then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful. even to death, remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus, what was happening here is Jesus was about to undergo the most difficult struggle of his life, the cross. And he wanted this cup of wrath to pass from him. But he submits to the Heavenly Father, saying, not my will, but your will be done. You know, that's it's not an easy prayer to pray. It takes all of you surrendering and submitting completely to the will of the Father, saying, God, I want your wants more than I want my wants. I want what you have for me. God wanted Jesus to go to a cross so the penalty of our sin can be paid for once and for all. Say, Chris, this idea of serving and surrendering and submitting, it's so hard. But Jesus, he gives us this perfect example throughout his life. He willfully submitted and he went to the cross and he died on a Friday and everybody thought the story was over. But church, the good news of the gospel is that 3 days later, Sunday came and Jesus Christ, he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he's alive and well and forever reigns. This is the beauty of the gospel. Know what this shows us? This teaches me, if I'm ever going to come to life in an area, if I'm ever going to resurrect in an area, I'm going to need to first submit in an area. You know, it's exciting. We have Baptism Sunday coming at the end of the month. And it's this beautiful day of an outward expression to an inward dedication. And when you're getting baptized, what you're doing is you're making a vow that as I go under, I am submitting and I'm being submerged to the power and the authority of Jesus. Then as I come out of that water, I am alive and I am well and I am now a living sacrifice that has been resurrected in Christ. It's you letting the world know that you are not ashamed of it. You are a person of surrender, of service, and of submission. That in view of God's mercy, by the mercies of God, this is our response. Right believing, now showing up, and right living, it all stems from God's mercy. It's his mercy that creates all this movement to become a living sacrifice, dying to yourself every day. This is our spiritual act of worship. And as I close this evening, regardless of where you are in your story, know this, that Jesus, he invites you to be a part of his story. Our Savior that knelt to wash our feet in the act of service, now at his feet we bow, surrendering and submitting. It's because of his mercy that we don't get what we deserve. Like Zacchaeus, we deserve to pay for our sin. But it's because of his grace and his mercy that he has shown us and given us, not just once, but daily, by the mercies of God. You know, we all have our past and we all have our stories. But my prayer tonight is that you will allow his story to become your story. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for what you're doing in this place, God. But we thank you so much for sending your son to hang on a cross for our sins. We thank you that Jesus was the ultimate example, that he truly surrendered to God, that he lived a life of service. He would literally get down in the dirt and serve his disciples by washing their feet. He submitted to the Father. He's not my will, but your will be done. God, I pray that we wake up every single day and we say, God, not our will, but your will be done. We thank you for your grace that covers us, God. and your mercy for not giving us what we truly deserve. We thank you that it's because of your name that we have the right to stand here as broken people in the face of a supernatural God and not feel your wrath, but feel your grace and feel your mercy. We thank you for who you are and what you're doing in the hearts of so many people in this room, so many people listening online, God. We love you and we thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. And for those of you that support our God-given mission, thank you for your joyful generosity. It's because you give that we're able to see lives forever changed by the gospel. You can click the link in the description of this episode to give now or go to bridge.tv for more information about our church. And we believe the gospel is good news worth sharing. So if you enjoy the podcast, feel free to subscribe and share this episode with family and friends on social media. You can tag us at BridgeChurchTN. Thanks again for listening and have a blessed day.